Jim Nantz joins us on Sports Byline. Of course, the lead play-by-play announcer for the NFL on CBS, as well as golf, including the Masters and the NCAA Final Four. And he, along with Kurt Gowdy and Dick Enberg, are the only play-by-play announcers to ever call both the Super Bowl and an NCAA Men's Basketball Championship game. And if you want to read a wonderful book, let me recommend Always By My Side, A Father's Grace and a Sports Journey Unlike Any Other. Jim, you grew up in New Orleans, Louisiana, and also Marlboro, New Jersey. Now, what took you from New Orleans to New Jersey?
You know, there was a stop in between in the Bay Area, actually, Ron, in Moraga, California. My dad was climbing the corporate ladder for a company called Sealand, a transportation company. And the family roots really go back to Charlotte, North Carolina. That's where we're from. That's where I was born. And, of course, my dad, took the big leap of faith from leaving the family area, the first really in the family to ever step outside of the Carolinas, and moved his young family to New Orleans, to Moraga, and then on to New Jersey, where the corporate headquarters were. And it gave me a wonderful exposure to the country and balanced out, if you will, of what probably would have been a pretty thick Southern accent by hitting all parts of the country. You know, I think it ended up a little Midwestern sound, even though I never lived in the Midwest, washed them all out to that point.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because in talking to athlete friends who grew up in military families, they tell me that their outlook on life, the balance that they have, was done because of the fact that they moved around, got to meet different cultures, different people. Was it that way for you as well, Jim?
Absolutely, and nobody's ever asked me about it until now, Ron, but the best education I ever had was being exposed to different parts of this country, cultures, likes and dislikes, different ways of thinking. It gave me a broader view of the world before I was even in high school. And although at the time, when you're young and your parents come in and tell you you're going to have to leave your friends, we're picking up and moving on to the next city, it was brutally difficult at the time. I can remember just being overwhelmed by it all and being so distraught. And my parents always said, you'll find new friends. It's going to be great. They give me all these reasons why. I can remember moving from New Orleans to the San Francisco, Oakland Bay Area, and my father came in and told me that a friend, to try to ease the pain for, at the time, a 9-year-old boy, my dad said he had someone he worked with in California who was going to get me a signed Willie Mays baseball. So suddenly, you know, I was able to, like, get my mind around it and accept the latest transfer.
What was it that got you interested into broadcasting? Was there a particular incident? Was it an event that kind of triggered it for you, Jim?
Well, I grew up in a home that loved sports. My dad was a good athlete. He played college football and basketball at Guilford College in North Carolina in Greensboro. And my grandfather, Jim Nantz Sr., my dad was junior, I'm the third. My grandfather actually played basketball, was captain of the college Charleston basketball team. Before there was an NCAA tournament, there used to be an annual, I think it was called the Heinz Tournament, like an AAU gathering, and they made the Final Four in Chicago. And my grandfather, Jimmy Nantz, who was a prominent player on that team, and he was a good enough athlete to be signed by the New York Giants baseball team and pitched in their farm system. Actually, was down in Florida before he threw his arm out. So my family had athletic roots. And then I, of course, just was mesmerized by what I was watching on the weekends. You know, back when I was a kid, we didn't have a lot of sports broadcasts during the week. There was no cable. There was no ESPN. And somewhere in there, I transferred my love of sport, which I shouldn't say it transferred, but I began to balance it more with my love of the story that was being told, the voices that were coming into my living room. I call them the voices of my youth. And they had such a great perspective of the world. I was so enchanted by the way that they told the story, completely enraptured by their erudition on all things about the athletes they were covering, the story behind them, the places they were traveling to, countries, cultures, all of these things. They brought them to me, and they gave me a view of the world that I couldn't learn only in a textbook. I learned it from them. And there was something about it that made me like romanticize about the idea of one day being one of those voices. Nothing to be really tied to being on television. Never has been, never will be. It was about telling the story. And, you know, there were radio voices, too, of course, I'm talking about. They just had this ability to tell a story and reach me. And I wanted to be able to travel to these faraway places and one day have the knowledge that they had to be able to tell those same stories.
In high school, you were not only a fine basketball player, but you were also a darn good golfer as well. You go to Houston to major in broadcasting, and you play golf there as well. Where did golf come into your life? Yeah, I remember, you know, you've told me about your dad and your grandfather involved with sports, but I never heard golf mentioned in those discussions.
Well, being from North Carolina, the golf course is a big primary sport in that state, and, you know, my father played it. And was about a 10 handicap, and I used to tag along with him. And I just really loved playing the game. And I practiced, and I started playing in tournaments, and I did fairly well in high school. Nothing like these kids of today. I didn't set the world on fire. I was very good in my county and my school district, and I, you know, finished high in some tournaments and some amateur tournaments in the state of New Jersey. But I had this rare opportunity to have a chance meeting with the decorated coach at the University of Houston. His name was Dave Williams. And he had a profound influence on my life. He was the winningest NCAA college coach of all time. He won 16 national championships in his 30 years of coaching, more than anyone ever. And someone had seen me play, a golf pro, and it told me that he thought I could play for Dave Williams at Houston. I thought that was crazy, but he set up this meeting with Coach Williams, who came out and watched me play 9 holes. And at the end of the 9 holes, he invited me to come to the University of Houston. If I wanted to apply to the school there, I could come on his golf team as a walk-on, and he would give me one of the 7 slots he was saving for his incoming freshman. And that's how it worked out. Now, I have to tell you, because I went to the University of Houston and I had some famous roommates like Blaine McAllister, who won 5 tour events, and of course, Fred Couples, who's arguably the most popular player of his generation, we were all roommates together, came into school together. Because people know that we were tight and we still are to this day, they think for some reason that means I can play golf. I seldom play anymore, Ron. I love being around the game. I live, you know, in a beautiful area that cherishes golf out here in Pebble Beach, California. But I just don't play that often. My game is way overrated. That's all I can tell you.
We have a couple minutes before we have to break here. You know, I've talked to a lot of athletes that were football players that roomed together, baseball players in college that roomed together. I've often wondered, what was the discussions like when it comes to golfers rooming together?
You know, very goal-minded individuals. Look, you got to Houston, and myself excluded, most of these guys were very highly ranked junior players in the country. And, you know, I can tell you this. The first day I showed up on campus, again, 1 of 7 freshmen, the coach asked us to stand, tell us your name and where you're from and your goal in life. I was the first to stand, and I said, I'm Jim Nance. I'm from Colts Neck, New Jersey. I'd gone to high school up there in Marlboro High School outside of Colts Neck. I said, I'm Jim Nance, Colts Neck, New Jersey. One day I want to broadcast the Masters for CBS. I set the pace. Well, about 3 players later, sheepishly, this bashful kid stood up and declared that he was Fred Couples. He was from Seattle, Washington, and one day he wanted to win the Masters tournament. And at that point, the coach said, okay, well, you two guys, you're going to room together. Okay, you guys go figure that out together. You both want to end up at the same place. And that's kind of the short of it. That's kind of how we got started. And, you know, most golfers, it takes a lot of time and a lot of practice to get pretty good. And then when you get to a level that's the upper echelon, the difference is just fractions. And no one's going to give you a space on the PGA Tour. No one's going to hand you a major championship. There's a lot more behind it than anyone could ever imagine. So it was not party time, I can tell you that. And I had a front row seat to see a major champion developing his game. It was just an absolute blast.
in about 20 seconds, do you feel because you played golf that you have a better feel for what happens when you're broadcasting a tournament like the Masters?
Yes. Good question. I can talk the game because I do know the strategy. I understand the sport. I'm not a novice. I'm not a guy coming out from left field who started to play the game at the age of 30 and has gotten his handicap down pretty low. No, I played a lot of competitive golf. I don't play well now, but I played enough to know the game, and I can talk the language, and it's helped me, no question, in my broadcast career.
Jim Nance is with us, of course, lead play-by-play announcer for the NFL on CBS, as well as golf, including the Masters and the NCAA Final Four. And when we come back on the other side, I want to talk to Jim about those early days with CBS and as he has progressed through broadcasting, his memories of it, and other aspects of this fine man's career. We do that as we continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on America's sports talk show, Sports Byline.